The text is the gospel reading from St. Matthew. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So the disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Because of that 2004 film, Super Size Me, we probably don't have a good view of supersizing fries, drinks, or burgers. But when it comes to faith, who among us wouldn't say, "Supersize me"? Where is supersized faith found? Not among the Old Testament church. Jesus was born into the Old Testament church, circumcised into it, raised in it, and came preaching to it. After feeding the 5,000, Jesus explicitly told this church he was the bread of life, which unless a man eat of, he cannot be saved. What was the reaction? Well, we read it in John 6. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Supersized faith wasn't found in Israel. They thought the bread of life was crummy. If supersized faith wasn't found among the Old Testament church, then certainly it was found among the apostles. Well, they were better than the disciples. In John 6, after many of his disciples left him, Jesus said to the 12, Do you want to go away as well? Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed that you are the Holy One of God." Bravo! That's the right faith, but it's not supersized. Last week, what did Jesus call the sinking Peter? He called him, "O ye of little faith." That's one Greek word. It's Jesus' pet name for the apostles. Only Jesus uses that name, and he only uses it of the 12. They didn't think the bread of life was crummy, but they were content with just pieces. No supersizing for them. Supersized faith wasn't found in the Old Testament church or among the New Testament apostles. It was found in the Gentile centurion who asked Jesus to heal his sick slave by just commanding him. And it was found in this Canaanite woman, a descendant of the ancient enemy of Israel. Jesus explicitly says of the Gentile centurion, "With no one in Israel have I found such faith." And to this Canaanite woman, he says, "Woman, you have great faith." Great is the Greek word megale. You know, mega meal, mega fries, mega drinks. Her faith was supersized. My mother always wanted supersized faith. She would talk about the supersized faith of Abraham, of Moses, of Paul, with a faraway look in her eyes. It's okay to do that. Look far away from you when you're daydreaming of supersized faith. Because if you look inside at your believing, faith withers. Or worse, it mutates into positive thinking. And then faith becomes your power. If faith is your power, if faith is what causes Jesus to help you, to save you, to love you, to forgive you, then what do you need Jesus for? Just have faith. And that works for a moment. Faith has positive thinking. It swells the heart. It emboldens the soul. It strengthens the body. You'll go chugging along like that, like the little engine that could. I know I can, I know I can, I know I can. You'll do that right up until the time you can't. And it will happen. Positive thinking, which is a human thing, breaks eventually on the anvil of reality. And when a person has misidentified their positive thinking as saving faith, when they see it go, there goes their hope. There goes their salvation. Supersized faith isn't positive thinking. It doesn't come from within you. A supersized faith comes from a supersized Jesus. And this is where the text falls all to pieces. We seem to meet not a supersized Jesus, but a super scary Jesus. A Jesus who is stone silent to a mother who keeps crying, "Have mercy on me! Have mercy on me! Have mercy on me!" We meet a Jesus who is less merciful than the apostles. When they say, "Send her away," they mean for Jesus to send her away as he has everyone up till now. Help, healed, forgiven. But the pitiless Jesus, that's not the worst of it, is it? No. He treats people like dogs. Love incarnate, love divine, the God who is love, calls this mother pouring her heart out for her demonized daughter a dog. A supersized Jesus gives supersized faith. But what does this Jesus give? And don't tell me you don't know this Jesus. You know him in prayer. You pray for help and you get hurt. You pray for solutions, you get problems. You also know this Jesus in the world. The mother praying for the safe return of her abducted toddler gets a body back. And worst of all, you know this Jesus in your fears, don't you? There are so many things that could happen to you. Those fears will run a long way with you. But then you get to your loved ones, especially your kids, and there's nothing to stop that wild horse except this text. I said supersized faith comes from a supersized Jesus. Jesus says this woman has supersized faith, so a supersized Jesus must be here. Where? Well, the same place he is for you. The supersized Jesus is not found in your prayers. That would be finding him in your head or heart. And we know that's not the place to look. The supersized Jesus isn't found in the world. Oh, people think they find him in a placid, peaceful Gulf of Mexico. But they quickly lose sight of him in tropical storms, don't they? And you certainly will never find a supersized Jesus in your fears. A supersized Jesus is known only in his word. Outside of his word, you not only don't have a supersized Jesus, you don't have Jesus at all. It was the word this Canaanite woman went by. Mark 7:24 says, when she heard of Jesus, she came and fell down at his feet. We know what this woman heard by what she prays. Not only does supersized faith, but supersized prayers come from a supersized Jesus. And she definitely sees Jesus as supersized. She calls Jesus Lord. That's the Old Testament name of God. That's God revealed in grace and promise. She calls him Son of David. That's the Old Testament church's name for the Christ, the Messiah. Then she asked for mercy. Not for rights, not for justice, but mercy. Mercy to deliver her daughter from demon possession. You know this Jesus too, don't you? This supersized Jesus is your Jesus, isn't he? He, not sickness, not death, not fear, not sin. He is your Lord. And he is your Messiah, your Christ too, isn't he? He is the one promised who would crush the head of the serpent and return mankind to paradise by giving himself up to snake bite. Being in our flesh and blood, he lived the life that you ought to but can't. He never doubted the promises of God. He never feared what God might do to him. He never had anything but supersized faith. Yet, he was given over to the snake as if he was an unbeliever, guilty of every one of your sins. And he was, because he took them on himself. He took them off your back, off your slate, off your books, and carried them away, wiped them away, stamped them in his own blood shed on the cross, paid in full. This is the supersized Jesus that the Canaanite woman prayed to. But why does he throw her a curve? Well, why does a dad throw a curveball to his son? To strike him out? No, to make him a better hitter. So Jesus throws a curve, but it doesn't break nearly as sharply as that insert translates. Jesus does not say, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." Well, there's no hope, there's no help, there's no future for a Canaanite in those words. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus actually says, and check other translations, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." This house is a very fine house indeed. It doesn't have two cats in the yard, but all nations. That's what Jesus said in the Old Testament lesson, Isaiah 56. He said, "For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." And don't think for a moment that anyone but your Lord Jesus is speaking those words. 1 Peter 1 says that it was none other than the Spirit of Christ which spoke through the prophets. So when Jesus says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," this Canaanite woman can believe, that's my house too, because it's a house of prayer for all nations. And that's exactly what she believed. We know she believed that, because right after he says it, she came to Jesus and didn't just kneel, as the insert again translates, but worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But what's this? Another curve, and this one appears to break very sharply. Jesus replied to her worshipful plea for help, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." Ouch! That ball didn't just curve, it hit her. So it seems. But in reality, there is much promise if you take Jesus at his words. The Jews regularly called Gentiles dogs, using the word for street dog or yard dog. Jesus doesn't use that word. He uses the word for puppies, or house dogs, or even lap dogs. And the Canaanite woman, from these words, grasped the supersized promise from her supersized Jesus. She says, "Yes, Lord." And accordingly, the puppies eat from their, not master's, but Lord's table. Now it's true, Lord's is plural there. But the woman who three times called Jesus Lord is referring to no one else but Jesus. This puppy went by her supersized Lord's words and came away with a supersized faith that received all that she asked for. What words does the Lord give to you? In the world, in your prayers, in your fears, your Lord can be silent, pitiless, and treat you like a dog. But how does he treat you in his word? You think your baptism, where his word of promise is joined to water, becomes sewage when Jesus seems distant from you? Has Jesus ever mumbled his words when he sent your sins away from you in absolution? And even after a week of being dogged by illness, worries, fears, have you ever came up to your Lord's table and found anything other than his body given for you, his blood shed for you? And these aren't crumbs that just happen to fall from your Lord's table, are they? No, he gives them to you personally. He delights in giving you his body and blood for forgiveness, life, and salvation, just as much as kids love to feed puppies at their table. Get the picture? His word tells you there's a supersized love here from a supersized Jesus. And that's what produces a supersized faith. Amen. Now the peace of God which passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.